Drag Pings, episode 139. 39 episodes of us bringing you the hottest stories that Microsofties are talking about. We know this by now. And this week we are welcomed. We are happy to welcome back Paul.
I think he's brilliant.
Hey!
Where you been this time, a world traveler?
I went to Los Angeles for my birthday and to hang out with my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Las Vegas for the Microsoft Management Summit 2012.
Well, how was that? I'm probably not, it probably was much more fun than Los Angeles.
It probably was a lot more fun because I got to hang out with some extended teammates and some partners, what's up to the Firesoft crew, and also did some stand-up while I was down there.
Did you know? In Vegas, you've opened for Louis Anderson before?
Yep.
Is that what you did this time?
So I got to do two more sets with him, and the guy that previously was his host invited me to open up for him at the Rio.
Really? And how were you received?
I will not discuss that. It's somewhere between decent and almost okay.
Now, because you've opened up for Louis several times now, do you have to, like, write a new act every time? Or is okay with you telling the same jokes he's already heard?
Well, he's fine with it because some of his best jokes he's been telling for about 31 years.
Really? Which one? Can you tell us one?
Well, I could, but I don't want to infringe on his
right,
act.
Right.
We'll and my parents were there, too, so I gave them their Mother's and Father's Day gift.
Oh, so somebody applauded.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. the one good show that I had was the show that they were there, so it worked out perfectly.
That worked out. Yeah,
and Louis was like, you raised a fantastic son, and, you know, they all teared up, and it was wonderful moment.
It's so amazing how he's a good actor like that. He just lies.
Yeah, he's very,
all
very caring
in a
very,
stage.
Very fake way. So speaking of caring in a fake way, how are things without me?
Well, we had Lipo Larry Larson step in. I think he did fabulously.
I thought he did quite well, too.
He was very excited to host the show, and I'm hoping to have him on again. When are you leaving next, Paul?
I may be in Vegas again next weekend for a bachelor party.
Well, if you're here next weekend, you can still host the show with us.
Possibly. We'll see.
And you may be hungover and recovering the following week, so...
No, I'm pretty good at not having hangovers, so...
Really? What's the secret?
The secret is that you just don't drink too much. Keep it to under 15 drinks a night, people.
I should try that. Should we start the show?
Let's do it.
All right. So, you know, part of my job is to constantly scour the internet for exciting news stories.
Really?
And this week, as I do most days, I was on your website.
Oh, my blog?
I was on Paul Messmaker's blog. A fascinating, fascinating journey into the mind of Paul Messmaker. You can learn tons of really, really exciting
things. A lot of space
you
can explore there.
Pretty much, I just looked at the pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I did notice there was...
It's because there was a picture of you on there. And
I stared at that one for the most.
I know. I could tell with my real-time analytics what you were looking at. It's pretty creepy.
I know. Was there comments? You should enable comments.
There's only one site that has comments enabled, and the rest you have to register, which no one will do. So I'll put on Facebook comments or something. But anyway, what'd you find?
Oh, well, I found this really exciting article or blog post, whatever you want to call it, about your new product.
Oh, yeah. System Center Advisor.
Yeah. I thought that you could share that with them.
Oh, yeah. Because I thought you were going to call it, like, System Server or something.
That would
something. Be silly. I know.
System Center Advisor.
Yeah, System Center Advisor.
I read it thoroughly twice.
Okay, well, let me make sure that you get the facts completely
right.
So at MMS 2012, where I was last week, we announced a bunch of great things. First is that we now support not only Windows Server and SQL Server with my, you know, Hubert
Server
project.
Yeah, look at all your jobs just blending.
Yeah, and we also now support Exchange 2010, SharePoint 2010, and SQL Server 2012. So SQL Server 2012 having been launched just a few weeks ago, this was the first server product that we actually co-launched support with Advisor. So the first day that SQL Server 2012 was available, Advisor had rules and recommendations for that
So what does this mean? This is mostly for enterprise customers.
Yeah, absolutely. It's for any business customer, any customers that have servers. And we attach to software assurance, which is something that we announced a couple months ago. So if you have software assurance on your Windows Server, your SQL Server, Exchange, SharePoint, you can get Advisor for no additional charge. So they can just, you know, register, they check a box saying, yeah, I have software assurance. They don't have to enter an agreement number or anything.
Right.
And then
keep it easy.
Yeah, keep it very, very easy, because we've learned from a lot of people that they know that they have software assurance, but they don't know who controls the benefits within their company. So because we're a new product, we want to make it really, really easy for people to try us out. So they can either choose a 60-day free trial, or they can check a box saying they have software assurance, and they'll be able to use it beyond the 60 days.
So is it kind of like, because it's called System Center Advisor, is there an actual, like, a back and forth? Is it still like a help option?
Yeah, so
to advise people?
With Advisor, yeah, we basically request
chat?
that customers deploy agents each of their servers.
Yeah.
And these agents collect data and upload it to Microsoft. And then the customers go to a website where it gives them specific actionable recommendations on what they can do to prevent downtime and data loss and potential corruption.
And this is all new. So there was no...
Well, it's the same product I've been working on for a while now, but the new things are that we are expanding what we support. So the SharePoint Exchange and SQL Server 2012
right.
is new, and we also announced that we work completely perfectly side by side with System Center 2012. Because before we were using System Center 2007 R2, and we could multi-home in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
But now with System Center 2012 having just been launched at MMS, we wanted to make sure that we also went out the door with that, saying...
Keep it with the times.
That's right.
So does this mean more work for you?
This means that...
Because now there'll be more people asking for advice, going to this website, looking for common problems.
So it means that the work that we've done just scales that much more effectively. So we put in a lot of effort up front, and now more and more people will be willing
more
to...
More reach, same amount of work.
That's right.
I like
so
that.
So I just sit there
maximize.
And I play
work
the,
already done.
The new Wordament, and I'm just like, oh, look, more customers. It's awesome. So anyway, you should check out
Wordament,
the...
Wordament, now on Xbox Live.
Yeah, we'll chat about that probably next week. I'll do a drill down. But yeah, so check it out, systemcenteradvisor.com, or look on my blog for a bunch of interesting interviews and miscellaneous videos that I've done over the last few weeks.
And one picture of me.
And one picture of Laura.
So, if you have a Windows phone, chances are you are more likely than not already using SkyDrive.
Yeah, it's nearly 100%,
I would imagine. 100% then, that you're using SkyDrive. You may not even know it. But this is a service that is available to you, and there's recently an article on PCWorld.com where they list five reasons why SkyDrive is actually better than its competitor, Google Drive.
Yeah.
So I figured we should discuss this.
Yeah, so there's been a ton of news that's happened over the last couple of weeks, ranging from things that Dropbox has been announcing, that Google's been announcing with Drive, and
mm-hmm.
with Microsoft out there with SkyDrive. And as you mentioned, SkyDrive has been out there for quite some time, and a lot of people just didn't understand or didn't know what was available to them.
Right. I had no idea that it was uploading my pictures without my knowledge, really. Granted, I had some box checked when I first got my phone that I didn't realize I had checked. But I had no idea it was saving all my pictures for me on my SkyDrive account.
It's amazing that you don't know that, because you constantly are getting a new phone and you check the same box every time saying, automatically back up my pictures on SkyDrive.
I think you have to uncheck it. Is what it is.
Probably, but
you
that...
You have to uncheck it, so I don't go through and uncheck it. If it's already checked, I just go by the
you are the
default settings.
The perfect consumer, then. Whenever we need to do a usability study, we will invite you from now on.
But that's a good thing, because I love SkyDrive, and we should all be using it. In fact, it's better than Google Docs. Google Drive.
Yeah, so some of the details that were announced with SkyDrive is that previously, I think the upload file size, like the maximum file size, was like 25 megabytes or something like that, which was decent. But now it's 2 gigabytes, so you can put 2 gig, like a 2 gigabyte file onto SkyDrive. This also, they now have this amazing sync utility that allows you to basically install SkyDrive app.
Mm-hmm.
On your Windows PC,
on your phone,
on your iPad, on your iPhone, and on your Mac, and there are even third parties that are making Android apps available.
Mm-hmm.
So this now has a much more Dropbox feel to it, where you just have a folder that's put onto your desktop or some location
right.
on your PC, and you can save to it in like an offline mode. And then whenever you're connected to the internet, it will just sync the changes seamlessly, so you don't need to have an active internet connection in order to use this. So this makes it really, really easy to have all your files synced to your PC when you're going to fly to like Buenos Aires or Shanghai.
Right, wherever you may be going.
You can just edit it offline, and the next time you connect, you're going to be able to sync all your changes to the cloud. Plus,
right.
there's very seamless sharing, so you can share and provision access to different folders. And one really, really cool thing that SkyDrive has is they have this notion of fetching files from a PC that aren't in your SkyDrive folder.
Okay.
So the use case for this is if you are working on a presentation and you save it and you didn't actually save it into your SkyDrive folder, but now you want to use it on your PC, but it's stuck on your desktop computer.
We've all been there.
What you can do is you can connect to either the SkyDrive app or the SkyDrive website, and you can browse through all of the files on your desktop PC from your laptop.
So it gives you remote access to your desktop?
Yep.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you have to either check a box or uncheck a box.
One of them.
And they also do some smart things with two-factor authentication. So they want to make sure that no one else is trying to access your files remotely.
Yeah, security.
So they actually have some interesting things there. So that's absolutely great. Because before, what they had with Windows Live Mesh is that you could do remote desktop through the internet, which I think worked incredibly well. But then you'd actually have to like log in, and you have to like drag it to SkyDrive, and you have to wait for it to sync.
Right, you have to be prepared for it almost. Right. Like you knew that you were going to want to remote access it.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think this is absolutely great.
Yeah, they also give you more free storage, and one of the I think the most obvious things why I think SkyDrive is better is because of the compatibility with Office web apps.
Yep.
You know, versus Google Drive, where you kind of have to use Google Docs and then convert it into some other format, where everyone in the world uses Microsoft Word. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, so
you
touched on two other very important things. So
I did.
For new, good job. And now three important things. Well, two important things and one, you know, moderately important, depending on who you ask, namely nobody.
How long is this going to take?
But if you start a new account with getting a Live ID and a new SkyDrive account, you'll get 7 gigabytes of space.
That's a lot of space.
Which is 2 gigabytes more than Google Drive currently, and 5 gigabytes more than what Dropbox offers.
Right.
But if you were already using it, even if you didn't know you're using it, for example, if you
have Windows Phone users.
Yeah, any Windows Phone user, or if you have like a Hotmail or a Live account,
mm-hmm.
you likely had SkyDrive enabled on that. And we had previously given out 25 gigabytes to everybody, but we didn't really have a system that people were taking advantage of that.
Right.
So for a limited time, even though we now have all these great uses for the space out there, you can re-enable your account. So instead of being just 7 gigabytes, you can bring it back up to 25 gigabytes. And it only takes a few clicks. And
It's a few clicks. I feel like we gave more than 5 reasons why ours is better.
We
should probably write in and expand on this PC World article.
I actually have blogged about it on my website. So as you as you go to the MMS,
you just go to Paul's website for everything you need.
Awesome.
All right, so some people seem to think, and I notice it here at Microsoft, that there's a lot more boys and men in the technology industry
especially
than women.
Especially women are saying boys without boys.
Especially then. I mean, it's so apparent when I go to the bathroom in any Microsoft building and I'm always all by myself.
Wow, whereas, you sing so much better than I do.
And that's really bad. Whereas boys talk about, I ran into so-and-so in the bathroom and then this happened in the bathroom. And I'm like, really? I'm always alone in the bathroom because there's no girls here. But we are working to change that.
Well, we also have these things called urinals so that you know who's next to you, but
I look under the stalls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You have like a mirror system?
Yeah,
where you, like,
I want to make sure if I'm going to be in the bathroom that I'm alone to do my thing.
Yeah, there was actually some stats that were put out there from the National Center for Women and Information Technology's Sit With Me campaign saying that about 25% of the positions in technology and computing jobs are filled by women and the rest are men.
Yeah, so we need to work on that. We need to even that out. And luckily there are groups like or events like DigiGirls, which is a Microsoft-run program, in looking to inspire girls, inform them about the information technology jobs that are out there, and really get them excited about the potential careers they may have in this field.
Yeah, I've seen some presentations from Sheryl Sandberg from Facebook, and I think she was formerly at Google, where she has mentioned time and time again that one of the best influences in a young girl's decision to stick with technology is to be able to see somebody who's 5 or 10 years out that she can look up to as a mentor or as a figurehead.
A role model, yeah. Wow.
If only we knew somebody that was cool and interested in technology, that could be a role model.
I can't think of anyone.
For young women thinking about going to this field.
Sure, we can come. Anyway, there was recently a DigiGirls event in New York, and New York is being applauded for their taking the lead in this sort of campaign. And I also wanted to touch on another program, and you can go to girlslearningcode.com, which is essentially a very similar thing. It's in Toronto, where it's, again, focused at women, where they go in and they teach girls who are interested to code from absolute beginner
to
intermediate stage, and they go and they do the same thing. They teach you how to code, they get you inspired, they show you careers that you could potentially, you know, adapt and mold yourself towards. So I just think this is a really good thing, and I'm sure there's other programs out there that are doing it, but I'm just commenting on this because the Microsoft DigiGirls was just applauded.
Yeah, at the University of Michigan, we had a program called EECS, Electrical Engineering and Computer Science.
EECS!
And one of my friends, who was probably one of the best computer scientists that I knew at the time, and she was female, so she started one called GEEKS, Girls in Engineering, Electrical Engineering and Computer Science.
That works out better. That's perfect.
But it's with a C, so it's like geese.
It'd be cool if it was with a Q.
Oh, man, that would be cute. Cutie.
That'd be awesome. But if you or anyone you know are a girl or knows a girl, push them towards these things because it's really, really, I think it's a terrible stigma that these jobs are for men because really they're not. As you just said, one of the best computer science students that you knew was a female. Yeah. You can do it. And there's jobs out there. And I think Microsoft is like has a quota to fill. You have to hire a certain amount of women. So
probably.
I could make that up.
Right, yeah. Next.
So in the hallways, I think it was yesterday, a lot of people were sort of buzzing about this video they saw online where a man had actually built his own laser lightsaber, Star Trek
phaser.
You know, and it actually shoots out a laser beam and does damage to the victim or so on the other end, and everyone in the office was like, I want this. I'm sure we can roll the video now where you can take a look yourself. And there's a couple things that people are questioning about. Well, first of all, would you want this, Paul? You're a dude. You're a geek with a Q.
So I have gone to China, and I have bought lasers that are likely illegal because they are very, very powerful. Like, you can shoot it by basically like a kilometer, and it works, especially in...
And if you put that in towards your eye, you will
damage. Absolutely. Like, I
accidentally beamed someone in the eye, like, this is retina gone.
Yeah, I was at a children's party, and I was, like, putting it around the floor, and they were chasing it around like they were all, like, little cats. And then the dad went and, like, picked up the green laser off the floor. Meanwhile, the laser pointer was in my hand.
Right.
And then I turned it off. And the kids were amazed. They thought, like, the laser was stuck in this guy's hand. And then he put it on the floor, and then I turned the laser on again.
An illusionist!
Yeah, exactly. So then one kid, like, tried stomping on it. So anyway, one of the kids figured out that it was a laser pointer.
Yeah.
And he's like, can I use it? And I looked at the dad, and he's like, I guess. And I was
first thing.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, just don't point this in anybody's eye. So
right.
I hand it to him. Very first thing, shoves it right into his eye, and I smack it out of his hand. And I was like, that kid probably could have been blind.
Is this a true story?
No, I can make all this up. I'm totally ad-libbing.
I don't know.
Absolutely true story. So anyway, there are powerful lasers out there.
There are powerful. So this, some people are saying that this video is a bunch of bulldinky, and there's no way that this could happen.
I think it's true. I think this is actually using a Blu-ray disc laser. Because those are known, like, those can actually obviously burn laser discs.
Right.
Or the Blu-ray discs. And I think I've seen other videos on the internet where they actually burn wood and
But there's this thing, so the laser doesn't do any damage to the white wall, leaves no marking, or any of the other things that he shoots, but then it hits the balloon and boom.
Yeah, well, it's heating up the air or, like, changing the surface tension of the balloon. So, like,
but don't you think it would leave, like, a black line of, like, something?
No, it's not that powerful.
It's powerful enough to pop a balloon.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I can also pop a balloon. Doesn't mean I can do damage to a wall with my hand.
Well, if I took a pin to a wall, it would leave a mark, just like if I took a pin to a balloon.
Well, it's the difference between heating something and, like...
If I took a lighter to a wall, it would leave a mark. Fine, you say it's real. You guys can debate about it online. Either way, I was more interested to see if you would actually want this thing.
Yeah, well, I definitely think that if this guy decides to make this and he can, for whatever reason, get, like, FCC approval for it...
Never.
The subreddit that's called Shut Up and Take My Money will definitely push this to the top.
There you go. All right, well then, you can all waste your money on
the cool thing about this is just that he took a phaser toy...
Yeah.
And changed out, like, the LED in there for an actual laser, so it makes the sound of the phaser.
If that wasn't dubbed in afterwards, you never know.
I'm pretty sure this is legit.
All right, well, there you go. I think that people like this should use their genius powers for good and not waste them making laser guns.
And this is about as good as you can get.
All right, Paul. We're done. That wraps up this week.
We are done.
Another exciting week.
139.
Paul has to get out of here. Apparently, there's happy hour sushi he will be attending. Are you frugal, Paul?
Am I frugal? Well, with all the traveling I've been doing, I can't say I've been frugal.
But most of the traveling's been on Microsoft's dime, no?
No, it hasn't. I mean, only half of it has, and then, like, another trip was by a third-party company that took me to London. That was
right,
nice.
Right, so how is this hurting your bankroll?
That's a good point. Yep. Yeah. So I've just
so
been
you could
very
probably
fortunate.
Go to regular sushi, and you didn't need us to rush through this week's episode.
Well, no, I have friends that I'm meeting up with. It's not like I'm just sitting there with my Kindle like I do in
other
countries.
It's like a lead-up.
Yeah. I don't know what that means, but yeah. I'm just going to agree with it.
All right. Well, everybody, hopefully Paul will be back next week. And in the meantime, you can follow all of his journeys on his website or his Twitter account
Paul
follow
Mast.
Me at Apple Boys. Bye!